The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brother, let's begin this message today by asking ourselves a question. Is there anything that can keep us away from God and His promises and His blessings? Jesus asked that question in a little bit different way over in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. So if you go with me to Matthew chapter 16, we'll read his way of kind of asking that same question. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24, Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's what we want to be doing. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" What are you willing to give up? Or what would it take, rather the better way of saying it, what would it take for us to leave God and God's way of life and His promises? Another way of stating the same verse is, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The New International Version on verse 26, just the A part of the verse, it says, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his life?" Notice what the Apostle John states in 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1, I'm going to read this from the New Revised Standard Version. 2 John 1 verse 8. "Be on your guard so that you do not lose what you have worked for, but may receive a full reward." Brethren, as believers and followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, here is a major point that all of us need to realize, and that is everyone who will be a part of God's eternal future must understand, at least in part, that this human life that we now live in is so temporary and completely insignificant to what our great Heavenly Father is offering to us. Would you all agree with that? I hope so. In other words, is there anything in this temporary life that can compare with the treasures that God holds out for us in His future? The answer is no. Now, with that in mind, I have titled this message, "Falling Away." Think about it this way, brethren. God has designed a new world, a new realm, if you want to call it, with us in mind. Now, I've made this statement before in times past, and I'll make it again here. God's everlasting promises to us involve His altering His eternal future to include us. So, brethren, let me ask you, have you, and I mean me, but have you on an individual basis, have I on an individual basis ever really considered how extremely important our salvation is to God? I mean, we think about it, yes, we're going to be saved, we're going to be in the kingdom, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and probably all of those things that we think about are true and accurate. But have we ever really considered how extremely important our salvation is to God? I mean, He loves us with the love that we cannot even fully comprehend as a flesh and blood and bone human being. I mean, He deeply wants us to succeed. And I mean, he is profoundly invested in our enduring all the way to the end. What would take us away from that? Are we impressed? Are we excited? How deep is that impression and that excitement? Are we thankful? How deep and how wide is our thankfulness? Do we want to be sure that we receive that full reward that we just read about back in 2 John chapter 1, verse 8? How committed are we to that goal? Because here's the point, brethren. God, and I mean Father and Son, God is totally committed to that goal. I mean, Jesus emptied himself for that goal. That is the goal. And brethren, please remember, we are now living in a world that is going to literally dissolve and go up in smoke. That's how important all of this is. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's read that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. It's going up in smoke. This is so temporary. As exciting as it is and all of the stuff, it's temporary. And then God tells us in Revelation 21 in verse 1 that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You can also read 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. You see, brethren, the Bible also shows us that there will be pleasures that we cannot even begin to comprehend with our finite, temporary minds and experiences that we have as flesh and blood and bone human beings. Notice what the Apostle Paul states over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read the one verse 9. I'm going to read this out of the New International Version. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. However, as it is written, and it's written in Isaiah 64 and verse 4, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Now, it's interesting to sit around and talk about all these things that God has given to us. This verse just tells us our mind can't even comprehend it. We can't even come up with all the things that God has prepared, not thinking about, prepared for us who love him. Is there anything that would cause us to fall away from God and his promises and his way of life? God's promises about pleasures are also found in many places in the Old Testament. I mean, I'm just reading just a few of the passages here in the New Testament. Now I want to read, notice with me a couple of the passages that we can find examples over in the Old Testament. I'm going to show you two, and both of them in the book of Psalms. There are other places. These are just the ones that I have. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. You have shown me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, we read these verses, but we also have to ask ourselves, do we really believe this? Is this true? The answer is yes, it is true. The question is, do we really believe it? And do we live our life based upon the fact that this is true and we believe it? Psalm 36 verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. That means living in the kingdom of God. And you shall make them, listen to this, drink of the river of thy pleasures. This is not a couple of little pleasures he's going to give us. It's flowing rivers of pleasures that he's going to give to us. Brother, I'd like for us to try and imagine for a moment something that I don't think we really can imagine. And that is that God loves us so intensely and so bountifully, and he has everlasting pleasures that are waiting for us. And I know here we could step out and we could start talking about, yeah, Jesus Christ came, he emptied himself, and he died for us and all. And John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I know we could go there. You know that. But I want to give you this statement to think about. I want us to please understand that do not have the idea that God loves us because Jesus died for us. The point is, it's just the other way around. Jesus died for us because God loves us so much. Let me ask you this question. Do you think anyone in their right mind would not be zealous about what God has available for those who truly love him? If a person really understood what the pleasures were that God had in store for them, do you really think they would not want to receive those things? I don't think so. Yet, the fact is, we must go through the process that God has designed to be able to receive them. Yes, he has them there for us. Yes, God is going to do all that is necessary for us to do our part to receive those things. But there is a process that we still go through because God developed a process for us to go through it. Why? Because it's for our good. It's the way to do it. Our salvation is not a matter of legalism. In other words, we keep all the commandments exactly right. We say all of these right things. We don't eat certain foods. We keep the Sabbath. Yes, all of those things are things that we do. That's not what that gives us salvation. And yet, it does require our complete commitment and total involvement. There are things that we are and must do. And our success, our perfection, can and will be accomplished by God's Holy Spirit. More accurately, I guess we could say it would be Jesus Christ living his life in us. That would be Galatians 2:20. Crucified with Christ, and I live, yet not I, but Jesus Christ lives in me, and I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because you see, brethren, God knows exactly what he is doing in our lives, and God knows exactly how to accomplish his purpose for us on an individual basis. And we need to keep that always in mind, that this is on an individual basis. Yeah, we're all part of the body of Jesus Christ, not taking anything away from that, not lessening that in any way. But he does these things for us on an individual basis. In other words, for us to receive that full reward that we talked about in 2 John 1 verse 8, to fully succeed and to enter into the everlasting family of our Heavenly Father, we must go through the process that God has designed for us. After all, what he creates works perfectly. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 18, the NIV version. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wants them to be. In other words, whatever part of the body that God is wanting you to be in, that's a part that God placed. He wants that. He wants for you. He wants for me, whatever it is. That's why I keep saying individually. So let me ask you this question and consider this. Would we really want to be in the body in some place other than where God wants us to be? Can I show a show of hands of those who would want to be in the body in some place other than where God wants us to be? So we understand this point. And I don't think so. I didn't think anybody would want to be anywhere that God doesn't want us to be. Therefore, when God is finished guiding us through His process, He has developed for us individually, we will have been fully perfected. Matthew 5:48. I'm going to read this in the New American Standard Bible. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And brethren, understand, the implication of this verse is that you shall be perfect. Because the point is, God knows what He is doing. Therefore, He will know that He can trust out throughout all eternity. I've been asked that question, well, how is God going to know that we're never going to sin down the line? You think this great God hasn't already figured that out? We're going through a process so that He will know, and we will know, that we're never going to fail. We're never going to betray God. We're never going to do things contrary to what God's will is once we're there, because we're going through this process. The process involves first creating us as a human, breath of life human being. Genesis 2, verse 7. And He breathed into the man, and he became a living soul or living being. We all went through that process. God didn't directly breathe individually into our own mouths and lungs, but it was through the process that He's done. It's called human life. And then in time, He makes aware of His existence, and then He calls us. He calls us. Now, we've got a choice there. He calls us, and we can say yes, or as stupid as it sounds, we can say no, thank you. But we have that choice. He calls us to begin a relationship with Him and with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us to repentance, and then He motivates us to seek it out. We just had a sermon recently on seeking God in His will and His way. Then, this is all part of the process, seeing how the process worked. Then, we must accept His forgiveness through the sacrifice of our beloved older brother and God's Son, Jesus Christ. Then, we are baptized. We're baptized as a sign that we understand that our old life is gone. Next, God gives us the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. If you've been baptized, you've gone through this, and we should all understand and know exactly what we're talking about. And this is the process, seeing this, and then keep in mind all the time. Is there anything that can take us away from God and His blessings and His promises that He's given to us? And then at that time, we become begotten children, sons of God. We become part of the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of God. Then We begin to grow in God's love, in His grace. We grow in faith. We grow in knowledge. We grow in understanding and wisdom, knowing what to do with it, more than just the facts, more than the, oh, this is what this means, but it's taking it and applying it into our lives and living it as a way of life. And then we're trained, we're tested, and we're found to be faithful. And brethren, please realize, everyone who goes through this process needs to stay aware of possible pitfalls, traps that are out there that could take us back to, is there anything that can take us away? Yeah, there are pitfalls. There are pitfalls. Now, even though I think that it is more or less unlikely that we will ever lose out because God is ready to provide all that we need for the help that we need to give us whatever, the possibility of falling away into serious pitfalls remain. They are there. They are always there. And if we're not always aware that they're always there, we can be taken unawares. We need to be fully informed, and we need to be on guard that we do not lose out. That's where you would put in again 2 John 1 and verse 8. We must make sure that we run the course from the start to the finish of the race. We have to endure to the end. That's what we're told actually in Matthew 24 and verse 13. Read this to the New American Standard Bible, Matthew 24, 13. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Is this an implying that no one who doesn't endure out to the end, is this implying that they're not going to be saved? No, it's not implying that. It's flat out stating it. Because there are pitfalls. And God allows them. And we're going to see as we go through more about even the why He allows them. Now, notice with me that while the Apostle Paul was locked in a Roman prison, he wrote his last epistle, which is 2 Timothy, somewhere around 67, 68 A.D. And in this book, in 2 Timothy, Paul wanted to inform and to encourage Timothy about all that was going on. And in the doing that, notice with me that Paul describes his journey, Paul's journey, this way. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that his death sentence had already been issued. He died very shortly after this. He was beheaded. And he knew that this was already there. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, or therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. That's the description of his journey, of living this godly way of life. He described the process. And then he goes on and he says, and not only me, not me only, but also all them also that love his appearing, that are looking forward to this, anticipating the return of Jesus Christ, this day becoming a reality. Paul had gone through God's process, and he knew it. Let me kind of summarize the process. And those of you who are familiar to the way I speak, a lot of times you speak and give bullets, and that's what I'm going to do here. It's like in a bam, bam, bam. awareness, calling, desire to repent, repentance, accepting forgiveness, commitment, baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit, growing in grace and knowledge, being tried and tested, being found faithful. Let me read those again in case you miss one. Because I want us to get this process, because this is the process that we take, that God brings us through to bring us into His family. Awareness, calling, desire to repent, repentance, accepting forgiveness, commitment, baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit, growing in grace and knowledge, being tried and tested, and being found faithful. So let me go back and re-ask our original question. Brethren, is there anything that can take us away from God, His promises, and His blessings? I also want us to understand, brethren, that in the early church, there were some that fell away. We can read about them. Not going to go through examples, but we know that's true. We know there's examples. We also know and realize, brethren, that in our lifetime, many of us have seen people that we know and that we love fall away, leave this way of life. Pitfalls. And brethren, there are many, many possible pitfalls that could oust us from God's process. And if we're not believing that that is a possibility, that's a pitfall. If we don't think that there's a possibility that a pitfall could interfere and take us away from God, if we're not doing what it is we need to do, that is a pitfall. And so, brethren, as we consider them, of course, let's realize all of them, all of the pitfalls are related in some way or another to lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're going to fit somewhere within that, at least one or two or all of them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That should just send chills up our spine. If we are loving the ways and the cares and all of the things of the world, God says, you don't love me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I didn't write this. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God shall abide forever. That's a person who has been faithful all the way through the process. And in some way, when you really stop and think about it, all of these pitfalls are based on some sort of deceit. There is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Pitfalls. That's where it comes from. That doesn't mean that it's not real. Just because we're aware of that he's there, and if you don't pay any attention to it, that's a pitfall. So what I want to do for the next little bit here is I want to go through and give a partial list for us to think about, a list of pitfalls. And I'm going to number them so that we will know where we are. At least I number them so I'll know where I am. Number one, and I'm not saying this is the only order. I'm just saying this is the way that I have them in my notes. I really am saying that. Number one, not being careful or on guard and or not placing appropriate value on what we have heard, what we have been taught, what we read, what we study, what we have been educated in this way of life. Not being careful, not being on guard, and appreciating what it is that we have heard. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Am I saying that we should at all times be taking notes and following every verse that is read in the sermons and, you know, in the sermonettes and the things? Well, not exactly, but is there a problem with that? I'm not saying that it has to be done. I'm just saying the information is given to help us. Why wouldn't we want to take all advantage of what we are receiving? Number two, get involved in heresies. And brethren, all of us must recognize that heresies must come. And those are the right words. Heresies must come. Didn't say can, must. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 19. For there must be also heresies among you. Must be heresies among you. If we're not aware that heresies are among us, and the us here is the church of God. If we're not aware of it, that's a pitfall. That's a huge pitfall. That's why I have getting involved in heresies. Because we don't recognize it. We're not paying attention. For there must also come heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest or made known among you. Because you see, brethren, here is the point. God allows heresies to arise in order for us to sort ourselves out. And you would go, well, now, wait a minute. Why would God allow these things as a result of heresies that it would take some away from God? Because if it allows you to be taken away from God, does God really want us or need us to be there? Go with me to Hebrews 12 and verse 27. I told you we'd comment on some of this a little bit later. Hebrews 12, verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things which are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Another way of putting this is in a real down-to-earth, hit-you-in-the-face comment is, if we can be shaken, we will be shaken. That's the point. That's the warning. And that's heresies is the main thing that's going to do that. Number three, not recognizing truth. Not accepting or receiving the truth. Not loving the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. For with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Do we recognize the truth? Do we love the truth? And do we accept the truth? And truth is not opinion. Truth is what God says. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Will we recognize truth? Will we love the truth? And brethren, the point is screaming very loudly to all of us, we must love the truth. Not opinion, but truth. Thy word is truth. Number four, loving this present world and our own flesh so much that we become caught up in the world. And being caught up in the world, we need to recognize that is a sin. It is a sin that we do not extinguish. It has to be put out. It has to be. Loving the present world and our own flesh so that we become caught up in the world. In fact, it is possible for us to even to have the Holy Spirit and to grieve the Holy Spirit and to extinguish it. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. King James says, quench not the Spirit. The words actually in the Greek mean do not extinguish it. Don't put it out. So what is that saying? It's possible for us to put out the Holy Spirit, for us to grieve it, so us not to put it out, to let it be gone. And to put it in a real vernacular, how stupid is that? Well, it's like all eternity. If you're writing notes, I have in my notes here, see also Ephesians 4, verse 30. I didn't have the verse. I don't know what it says. I don't remember it right off. Number five, be caught up in legalism. Now, what I mean by that is, I said don't be, and other here is one, a pitfall could be being caught up in legalism. In other words, trusting in the flesh and not trusting in God to fully do his part. Well, I'm not sure how God's going to work this out, so therefore I'm going to go and do this. That's working it out in the flesh. That's not allowing God to do his part. In other words, I have in my notes here, hearing the preaching, in other words, what is spoken, the words that are there for us, yet not mixing it with faith. Colossians 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? It says, are you so foolish that you started out in the Spirit, you were living the godly way of life, and now you think that you're going to receive salvation or be made perfect through the flesh? Number six. Being deceived, and I mean by being deceived, in any way possible that we could be deceived, by being deceived and becoming part of the prophesied falling away. Am I saying that the scripture shows that it is prophesied that people are going to fall away? Yes, exactly what I'm telling you. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Do you think this some falling away is referring to the world? This is talking about the church. The world is already falling away. They're not even close to the living the godly way of life. This is talking to the church. This is a warning to the church. Number seven, getting involved in man's traditions and rudiment of the world over God's commandments. Commandments here meaning his entire whole way of life. Paul actually told the Colossians that this would spoil them. Let's see that. Go with me to Colossians 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2 verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This word, these words, rudiments of the world, they could be translated, and for us it'd probably be better to be translated as elementary principles of the world. In other words, their teachings. I don't mean that 2 plus 2 equals 7. I mean 2 plus 2 equals 4. Try to be funny. I don't mean that there are actual known things out there. I'm talking about their philosophy, their way of life. This is better than that way of life. There is no God. God is dead. All of those kinds of things. Number 8, getting caught up with false brethren, meaning people who attend the church, who deliberately attempt to bring us into bondage. Again, am I saying... This is exactly what I'm saying, because this is exactly what the verse says. Galatians 2 and verse 4. Galatians 2 and verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us into bondage. Now, is this saying that there are false brethren within the church and they're here for the purpose of to bring us into bondage? That is exactly what this verse is saying. Not going to, but I could name names. I could tell you things that people have taught and taken people out of the church over. Fits this category. Number 9. Allowing cares of this life to supersede a relationship with God and His people. Remember, what we're looking at is pitfalls that are there that could oust us out of the body of Jesus Christ, out of the church of God, out of God's way of life. Mark 4, verse 19, Mark 4, verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceivableness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Luke 21, verse 34. Luke 21, 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be weighted down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many false and hurtful lusts. Now let me start right here. Is it wrong to be rich? Of course not. It depends on what you put first. You have a choice. Do you put your riches and your wealth and all of your stuff, or do you put God? It's an either or, because that's what happens. This is what it says. But they that be rich fall into temptations and a snare, because that's the likely thing to happen. Doesn't have to be, but it certainly can. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is, could be a root of all evil, which while some coveting after money and all the stuff that they can have, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Self-inflicted wounds. Cares of this world, superseding God's way of life. Number 10, being unwilling to forgive. Is that a pitfall? Yeah, it's a pitfall. Matthew 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Without God's forgiveness, we have no future. Huh. That's pretty plain. But, verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty straightforward. Number 11, being unaware and therefore being unprepared. As we see in the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. Unaware and therefore unprepared. They were unprepared and therefore they were unaware and therefore they were unprepared. And that's a huge example, and there's all kinds of things that we can see in that. So I think, brother, that with this tiny partial list, we could go on and on, but there are many other pitfalls that we can or could consider. So let us ask some questions here of us individually. Are we prepared? Do we recognize and discern the difference between truth and heresy? And most people would say, well, yeah, of course I do. Well, that's like asking a person deceived, do you know that you're deceived? And they're going to say, no, I'm not deceived. And of course, because a deceived person doesn't know that they're deceived. But do we recognize and do we discern the difference between truth and heresy? Are we awake, alert, and ready, trusting God, seeking and expecting His intervention? Are we daily cleansing our lives spiritually speaking? Are we remaining faithful? Are we always ready to forgive and be forgiven? And are there volumes of thanksgivings offered up to God? Like I said, we could go into other lists. But instead, brother, let me bring this teaching about falling away to a conclusion. Through the Apostle Peter, God has shown us the way to ensure that we will never fall away. Do you think we should read that? Please go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He just says He's given us everything that we need, that we don't have to be ousted by the pitfalls, that we can endure to the end, that we can be part of the family, that we can do all of these things. That's what He just says. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is a summation of what we've talked about here. Verse 5, and besides this, in other words, even more so, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And yes, and we could talk about every one of those, and that's not my point here, but we could do that. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Verse 8, For if these things be in you and abound, they're not just there, they're abounding, they're growing, they're getting bigger and bigger in us as part of our way of life, that make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are areas in my life that I still consider myself to be barren in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know all things. I want to know it all. I tell people all the time that I am greedy to know the way of life of God so much more than I do. And this is what it is saying, that it will be more so. It will be there. We have to continue on. Verse 9. But he that lacks these things, oh, wow. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10. Wherefore, or therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. This next part. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You want to make sure that you never fall away from God? He just gave us the formula. Now you got to go all kinds of other places in the scripture to back it all up, to show it, to prove it, and to work it out. But that's the formula. That's it. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, we have been so blessed in this holy way of life to which we have been called. Happy Sabbath. God bless all of you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.